What's up, everyone? Welcome to my podcast. Welcome, my cold-blooded kings and queens. Welcome to In Cold Blood. I'm your host, Togger, and welcome to the first episode. Fourth episode, I mean, it's been a month since In Cold Blood has been publishing episodes. I am so proud of myself. So today we're going to be talking about Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker. I am so excited to be talking about him. Although it's a pretty dark story, he had a not so very good childhood. So I am really excited. Okay, so let me go through with my warnings. So, trigger warning, this is a true crime podcast, so if you're sensitive, I recommend finding another podcast. We're talking about crime, we're talking about really dark things, especially in this episode, because like I said, his childhood was like really dark. Everything about his story is dark, everything about crime is dark, so just if you're sensitive, just click off of this, I won't get mad or whatever. So I think without further ado, we're just going to jump in today's episode because we have a lot to cover. His story is crazy. So our boy Richard Ramirez, also known as the Night Stalker, the Walk-In Killer, and the Valley Intruder, was born on February 29th in 1960, the youngest of Julian and Mercedes Ramirez's five children. Can we talk about her name for a second? Her name is so cool. It's after a car. I've never seen that, honestly. Anyways, his father Julian, who is a police officer, had anger issues, and it resulted in physical abuse. So, yeah. His cousin Miguel Ramirez, my voice sounded so weird, but anyways, his cousin Miguel Ramirez was in the United States Army Special Forces, has abused and raped women during the Vietnam War, and he would take pictures of them and sometimes pose with like the victim's head and share the photos with Richard. Not cool move, bruh. Richard started smoking marijuana at the age of 10, and he bonded with Miguel over with joints and gory war stories, as one does. Miguel also taught young Richie how to fight and kill and all the good stuff. Around this time, Richard was sleeping in a cemetery to escape his father. Actually, rumors go that his father like took young Richard to said cemetery and chained him up for the night. I don't know if it's true, but let's hope it's not, because like that's fucked up. The whole story is fucked up, but like, ooh. Yeah. Yeah, this makes me uncomfy. Okay. Richard was a witness when Miguel shot his wife in a, you know, argument on May 4th, 1973. So he was like, fuck this shit. He moved in with his sister and her husband at the time. Richard began using LSD and had a big interest in Satanism. LSD is a drug. Satanism is just being obsessed with Satan and like the devil, whatever shit. Miguel, you're probably wondering like what happened to Miguel after that. Well, yeah, he was found not guilty for the murder of his wife by the reason of insanity. He was released from the mental hospital on 1977. So, his influence on Richard continues. Richard dropped out of high school in ninth grade, and He moved to California at the age of 22. That is when the chaos started to happen. Ooh. So, on April 10th, 1984, Richard murdered a 19-year-old girl in the basement of the hotel he was living in San Francisco. He raped and beat the girl before stabbing her to death and hung her body from a pipe. That was his first known victim, although we did not know that Richard was responsible for the murder until 2009. So keep that in mind. After that, Richard continued on with his killings until August 24th, 1985. So, let's talk about one particular murder. Okay, so on March 27th, 1985, Richard entered the home of the Zazara family at 2 a.m. and started by killing 64-year-old Vincent Charles Zazara with a .22 caliber handgun. His wife Maxine, age 44, woke up from like the gunshot. Richard beat her and asked her where her like the good stuff were, you know, like jewel, like gold and stuff. I don't know. While collecting the goods, Maxine took a shotgun from under the bed, but it was not loaded. So Richard shot her 3 times and stabbed her several times, then carved her eyes out and put them in a jewelry box that he took. The bodies were found by their son, Peter. Richard left footprints in the crime scene from a pair of Avia sneakers. That was the only evidence the police had at the time. And bullets from the scene were matching, like in different crime scenes. The bullets were matching because he like only had that 22 caliber handgun. So the police knew they have a serial killer in hand. Okay, so you're probably wondering like what's important about this murder. Well, he left evidence, and that was like a very big evidence, because that's how the police found him actually, or like knew who he was. So let me tell you a summary of how his murders would go. So he would just get up in the morning, you know, stretch out. He was living in like different hotels and like buying cocaine on 24/7, but just woke up, stretch, you know, eat whatever, smoke cocaine, pray to Satan, and just take a stolen car, just cruise around. And then he was like, yeah, that house looks good. He would just wait till the night. Night comes, he breaks in, kills whoever and rapes whoever, and sometimes he would leave like people to survive, sometimes he would just kill everyone. But when he does leave people to survive with his knowledge that they're gonna survive, he'll just tell them, like, tell the police that Night Stalker was here. And, like, yeah. He would tell them to, like, swear on Satan that I took all the good stuff. Like, you don't have anything else. Swear on Satan yet that you don't see my face while I'm, like, raping you or whatever. So he was such an asshole. Like, whatever. So yeah, that was just a summary of like all his killings. So remember the shoe prints that we found? Yeah, police now only have Richard's footprint and the description, his description from like previous victims. He was described as like the dude with long curly hair, long curly black hair, rotten teeth. That was a big part in the crime. Rotten teeth. He had like really rotten teeth. It's disgusting if you see a photo of him. And they later found an abandoned, stolen car, and found Rich's fingerprints on the car. And from the fingerprint on the car, at the time he was described as a 23-year-old drifter from Texas with long rap sheet. Rap sheet is just like the paper that has like the record of a criminal, of many arrests and traffic and illegal drug violations. They found a mugshot from a 1984 arrest for auto theft to the media, and finally the Night Stalker had a face. People say that they found him from this reason. Also, people, after like they took the evidence from that crime scene, like Avia shoes, they were like, yo, like they asked like the company, yo, this particular like shoe model, like in the size something something, who did you sell this to? And the Avia were like, we sold this particular size and this particular like model of the shoe to 11 people, and they connected the dots and they found Richard. Not found him, but they just knew who the Night Stalker is. So pretty cool story. I think it's just a good way to find the serial killer, if you ask me. Like, change your shoe. Like, if you're gonna murder someone, first of all, do not leave like any fingerprints. Just wear gloves the whole time you're doing anything, and just preferably do not wear a shoe that has like a footprint, like shoe print under it. Do not wear shoes, cause like this is just, they're gonna like find out who you are. So just wear shoes that don't have shoe prints, or wear different shoes to like different attacks, you know. Oh shit, this is not a how to get away with murder podcast. I'm not teaching you how to get away with murder. Anyways, let's continue on with the story. So, on August 30, 1985, Richard took a bus to Arizona to visit his brother, not knowing that his face was on every newspaper and news channel. After failing to visit his brother for some reason, he went back to Los Angeles early in the morning the next day, so on August 31. He walked past two police officers who were searching the bus in hopes of finding the killer. He was like, what the fuck is going on? He quickly got inside a store, and that's when he saw his face everywhere. He was like, fuck. Panicking, he ran out of the store, tried to carjack a woman, but failed. People started running after him. After many attempts of carjacking people, they catched him. They hit him with a metal bar and started to beat him up until the police arrived. So fucking imagine, like, you're a famous serial killer and like not get caught by police. You got chased down by just random people walking down the street. Pretty cool. And when I was like watching his arrest and like doing my research on him, before I knew how he got arrested, I saw like a video of him in the police car the day he got arrested, and he had like bruises and like a big ass bandage on his head, and I was like, what the fuck happened to him? And when I saw the story that like people hit him with a metal bar on his head, I was like, okay. Okay, that's why he looks so like beaten up and like fucked up. But cool story. That's a cool arrest. That's a good way to get arrested. So, Richard is arrested. Let's talk about what happened after that. So, on September 20, 1989, Richard was convicted to all charges. He was convicted of 13 murders, 5 attempted murders, 11 sexual assaults, and 14 burglaries. Fuck, I hate English. Oh my god. And sentenced to die in California's gas chamber. He stated after the death to reporters, quote, "Big deal. Death always went with the territory. See you in Disneyland," end quote. He's like, "See you on Disneyland, bitches." Cool. The trial cost $1.8 million, $3.71 million in like 2019 dollars, which at the time was the most expensive in history. Cool. Now let's talk about an interesting topic over here. So during the time, he had many fans sending him letters, visiting him. One in particular, a girl named Doreen, wrote him nearly 75 letters. And so Richard proposed to her in 1988 and married her on October 3rd, 1996, in California's San Quentin State Prison. She even said that she would kill herself when Richard was executed. But sadly, the love story ended after DNA confirmed that that Richard was responsible for the 9-year-old girl's murder. Remember that his first victim in 2009. So she was like, "Fuck, you raped a 9-year-old. I can't do this anymore." Okay. But, however, he engaged to 23-year-old Christine Lee in 2013. Actually, I'm gonna talk about this for a second. So, of course, people who are sending Richard fucking letters and visiting him are obviously mental. I get he was not even that attractive. If you look up a photo of him, he had good bone structure, I guess. He had good hair, I guess, but other than that, it was just So let me describe him for you guys. So he was like kind of lean. He had narrow eyes. Had like tanned, olivey skin, long curly black hair, and crazy ass teeth. His teeth are something else, dude. And he had a good bone structure though. His face. But, like, he's not attractive, like, he's not that attractive. So, back to my point, you're probably wondering, like, yeah, they're mental, the girls that are sending him, like, letters. Yeah, that, I looked that up, and it's actually a disorder. It's called hyperstophilia. It is when, like, a person is, like, interested romantically to a serial killer, or, like, a murderer, or, like, a violent, really violent person. I was like, fuck that's actually real. I thought people are crazy like that, but I looked up the causes, and some of them are lack of father figure in the person's life, believing that they could like protect them in a way, you know, because like the person is capable of murder, so he would protect me. You know, stuff like that. Also, believing that they could change him, and believing that there's this little boy in the guy, you know, like he's not a bad guy. There's a good side to him. And last one is just wanting to get fame from the thing, from like being related to a serial killer. It's like hoping to get like book deals, movie deals, show deals, whatever, just to get famous of like being related to a serial killer. I did not know that like this was like a disorder, like hyperstophilia is a thing. Like people who obsess over serial killers are like actually mental, and yeah, it's crazy for me. I don't know. Let's go back to the story. So, psychiatrist Michael H. Stone described Richard as a made psychopath, not a born one. He says that he has SPD, which is a personality disorder, where you're just like not really interested in society and just don't want to deal with anybody. He stated that Richard was knocked unconscious and almost died many times before he was 6 years old, and resulted in later development of TLE, which is a chronic disorder in the nervous system, aggressivity and hypersexuality. On June 7th, 2013, Richard died at a hospital in California due to blood cancer. Just wait a couple more years and you would die in a gas chamber. The death that you deserve, but you chose to die off of cancer. I'm not like making the like making cancer like making the problem of having cancer small, but like to a serial killer, like you deserve more than that. You deserve way more than that. I talked about it in episode 2, the Sunday Morning Slasher, because he also died of cancer. Like, you fucking raped. You're a fucking serial rapist and a serial killer. So, like, you don't deserve just cancer. You deserve the gas chamber. And that, my friends, was the cold-blooded serial killer, serial rapist, kidnapper, pedophile, and burglar, the night stalker, aka Richard Ramirez. Dun, dun, dun. Ugh. Okay, let's just jump into ramble time. Yo, yo, what's up? Welcome to Ramble Time. Fun fact, 55% of serial killers become killers due to physical or sexual abuse, and 21.34% due to head injuries. So imagine with me, good old Richie over here. Like, that boy was abused. He had really bad influence, thanks to his cousin Miguel, and he had head injuries, like several head injuries. So he's just a package deal, just the pack, like a truly made psychopath, as our boy Michael H. Stone says. Like, just the really big psychopath. I'm not justifying any of his actions due to like his childhood. Like, this just not it at all. But like, think about it. He had a really very 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 really tough childhood. It's just it explains why he's the way he is. So I really want to make like bonus episodes for you guys, you know, just fun little episodes. But I don't know what to do. Like, I was thinking maybe a Q&A, but I'm not that famous for that yet. So like, no one would like give me genuine questions, you know, 'cause like I'm not famous for that yet. But I will do a Q&A when like I am famous and like people actually like are asking questions. But I don't know for now. Like, I don't know what to post on the bonus episode, you know. Maybe a game, but I think I don't know, I just want it to be something like that you guys can look up to, like look forward to, like I can't wait for the bonus episode, you know. I just want that to happen, you know. I want that to happen with all my episodes. Like, I want people to look forward to, like when is the next time I upload, because God knows the last time I felt that feeling. Until now, though, like, I look forward to recording my episodes. I look forward to researching, like, writing the script. I don't look forward to editing, though. I fucking suck at it, and I hate it so fucking much. But I don't have someone to do that for me, so I kind of have to do it myself. And I just want you guys to, like, have a feel, like, looking forward to something, you know? Something that, like, I've been really hyped up about is that I have so many listeners. They're not many compared to, like, other episodes, to other podcasts, but there are many to me, and I appreciate every single one of you guys. And I have listeners from Egypt, United States, United Kingdom, Oman, Iraq. I am so excited that you guys are listening. What's up, my Arab gang and America in the UK. I love you guys so much. Thank you so much for listening. I fucking love you. This podcast is like kind of my escape from the world in a way that I can't really explain, but just seeing that people are interested in listening to your crap it just makes you feel worthy of something, if I'm making sense. So I fucking love every single one of you. Although my last episode, The Zodiac Killer, has 17 plays. For me, that is so much. I love you guys. Honestly, I love you guys so fucking much. Thank you for all the support. And big, huge shout out to my best friend for being the best support out there. Like, she is awesome. She's awesome. I love you, bitch. On that note of, like, podcasts and, like, content in general, oh my god, like, give platforms to people who actually deserve it, people who are genuinely interesting, people who have good content, people who are not problematic, people who are just chill and positive, because let's be real, we need a lot of positivity in this world, like, especially after all the stuff that's been happening. It's been depressing. It's been depressing. So, like, we need people, like, content creators who just provide us content that is genuinely positive and just chill, good stuff, you know? Like, ironic coming from a podcast about true crime, but for real though, like, give platforms to people who deserve it. Not calling out anyone, but give platforms to people who genuinely deserve it. Thank you guys so much for listening until this very minute. I love you guys so much. I hope you're having a great day. Stay awesome, stay being yourself, love yourself, whatever that crap, love yourself shit be like, but just, you're perfect, you're awesome, just you keep living. Keep living. Thank you for supporting me and listening to this. Don't forget to rate and review my podcast on whatever app you're listening to this on. And I love you guys so, so much. And let's hope that I'll see you in the next episode. Episode 5. I'll see you there. Bye, my cold-blooded kings and queens.